Good morning. I want to be where he is, don't you? Right where he's at. Well, I'm glad to be here. Haven't been up here for a couple weeks. I know you all missed me. But I tell you, I had Zeta out yesterday for her lesson. Zeta's my granddaughter, and I'm taking her to skating lessons, and she's learning how to roller skate. And you know, it was kind of stumbling at first, but now she's picking it up. And you know, she said, "Look, Papa, I'm skating backwards." You know, had her little hands out, and I thought, you know, she's getting confident. You know what I mean? And you can see it. As she's being taught and understanding everything, she's becoming confident. You know, and that's something to watch someone learn something and get confident, you know? And that's the way it is. When we learn and as we grow and start to understand, it breeds confidence in us and it builds us up. And that's the same way it is in the things of God. As we grow in our understanding, we get more confident. And that's what we need. We need to be confident in what we believe today. Amen? Amen. All right. So have y'all got your salubrious activity in this week? I was going, some of you looking at me like, oh, man. I'm going to a new place called CrossFit. And it's kind of a new workout. And you have to, you do these different workouts every time. And you're only in there for like a half hour at the most. And it's real fast. But it's high intensity. Well, you have to do all these stretches at the beginning. And this new guy came in, and I thought, you know, I kind of felt awkward when I got there. I wasn't real confident when I got there first because it's all new. And so I got acclimated, and so this guy came in. He was new. Oh, I went up and shook his hand, told him who I was, and tried to make him feel comfortable because it's different. It's not like going to the gym. It's different. And so, you know, did that. And then we started stretching, and we had to get down on the floor and do some hip stretches. And so we were doing that, and this new guy, all of a sudden, you know, he had some, you know, gas. And I'm thinking, okay, and he goes, ooh. And I thought, all right, I kind of laughed it off, and I thought, you know, but then he did it again. And it was even louder. He just didn't care. Then he did it again. And I thought, man, now you're up in my stuff, because, you know, it's starting to come in this direction. So I had to get up and move. I mean, you know, everybody has a little accident once in a while, right? But you know, he just wasn't caring. So I'm going to make sure there ain't nothing wrong with that, right? I'm just making sure I don't get close next time. All right. We are going to be doing baptisms on the 17th, 17th of May. And we're going to be doing that at the Hughes Pond. So if you're going to be baptized, we're going to do that on the 17th of May. And that'll be after the second service. And we'll have like a little teaching here and share a little bit in this after the second service. And then we'll carry a man over to the pond. And it'll be a celebration. It'll be good. So if you need to be baptized, May 17th. After the second service. Excuse me. Okay. Wasn't it great to have Pastor Moses here last week? Isn't it awesome to be a part of what they're doing in India? I really want to stay connected and keep that relationship healthy. It's just amazing what God is doing in Pastor Moses and his vision and all that God has called him to and raised him up. Time that we live in, because I mean, he's rescuing those children out of a mess. I mean, big time. If you've seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire, that's really the way it is over there. Has anybody seen that movie? It's a good movie. I recommend it. Okay. Let's see. What else? All right. We are going to talk today about redemption. And we're going to go, you know, there's a little error in the bulletin. It's 1 Thessalonians, not 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I probably told the person wrong who put that in there. So I admit, I make mistakes, right? 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. So we won't blame it on the bulletin person. Even if it was a bulletin person, it's no big deal, right? All right. First Thessalonians 5:23. Now, when's now? Now's right now. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may you and may your spirit, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, for your presence here today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you prepare our hearts, continue to prepare our hearts and minds to receive your word with meekness, the very word that's able to save our souls. Lord, let none of us remain the same because we have been in your presence today. Let your truth rule and reign by the power of your Spirit. Father, we thank you for it, and we're going to trust you forever. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay, now, I got my little thing. We're going to look at that again. So, body, soul, spirit. Okay? That's what we're made up of. Three parts, right? Everybody say body, soul, spirit.
Body, soul, spirit.
So, you know, when I talk about salubrious activity, you know, we laugh, and but there's a strong element of seriousness in that. And so, because if you really want to complete and fulfill the plan and purpose of God, that's part of it, right? Taking care of yourself, being healthy. We just need that awareness, okay? Now look at this. Now, we talked last time that the Spirit, okay, the Holy Spirit and your spirit became one. Remember, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. They become one spirit, right? Is that right? So now, nothing can change that, remember? And that happened at redemption. In Ephesians 1, 7, it says that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That was God's redemption plan to send Jesus to redeem us. Why did we have to be redeemed? Because what God deemed in the garden as important, okay, Adam and Eve, all right, what he deemed as important, he lost when they disobeyed him. So, in order to get that back, he has to redeem it. And that's what he's done with us. He's redeemed us through the blood of Jesus. If you've become born again, you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Okay? That's huge. It talks about that in 1 Peter 1, verse 21 through 23. You've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, watch this. It says, and it also says that in Colossians chapter 1. So, it says it in Ephesians. It's important to understand. Everybody say, I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
The Bible says in Psalms 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for he has redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy. You see, and when you know that and you understand redemption, folks, it changes the way you approach life. It changes the way you live. Now look at this. Everything we have in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says we have all spiritual blessings. Everything right here in the Spirit. When you're born again, you become a new creation. Remember in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. When you're born again, everything has changed in this spot right here in this spirit. You are no longer a product of your parents. You're born again, spiritually. That's what takes place. And that's a reality. And when you understand that, then you begin to see things differently. That's why Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. The word see in the Greek language means to understand. To understand the things of God, you have to be born again. Now watch this. So we're in the Spirit. We're one with God in the Spirit. Now here's the idea. We've been redeemed eternally. So the sin issue's been dealt with, right? Past, present, future sins have been dealt with. Jesus isn't going to die for our sins anymore, right? And he's even taking care of your future sins. Well, how can that be possible? If that wasn't possible, we'd all be in trouble. Because he died 2,000 years ago for our sins, right? The sin issue has been dealt with. You have to understand that. Now, here's the problem. Right there, iniquity. You see that? That word iniquity doesn't mean sin. It means an inward bent towards destruction. An inward bent towards destruction. The Bible says your sins and iniquities have been passed on to you as far back as 3 and 4 generations. Did you get that? Exodus 34:7. So, now, hear this. The iniquity is a pattern in your life that has the potential to keep you in a sinful lifestyle, in a destructive behavior pattern. That can be addictions. That could be habits, eating habits. That could be pornography. That could be drug addiction. That could be temper. You have a temper. You know, people who have a temper, they get into rage. Or, you know, people who they don't ever want to forgive. They want to pout and they want to, you know, hold grudges and keep things against people. That's patterns that... Now watch this. Now look, see this? That's an iniquity. Now an iniquity, all right, remember I used the example of when when I got married, my wife was pregnant, okay? When my dad got married, my mom was pregnant. When my dad's dad got married to my grandmother was pregnant. Well, see, that was an iniquity, and it was passed on in the family. But now when my son got married, he was a virgin. And my daughter's still a virgin. She's 28. But that's an iniquity. Are you seeing this? And so this is what we got to deal with. We got to get from what in here, okay, the fruit of where the Spirit is, okay, everything we have is that we don't need any more righteousness. We don't need any more holiness. We don't need any more peace. We don't need any more kindness. We don't need any more gentleness. We don't need any more self-control. It's all right in here. It all took place at redemption. The Word of God brings it out of the Spirit into this realm right here, the soul realm. That's what you live out of, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, that's why if, say, you have an iniquity of a temper, all right? Now, you get God's Word on it, and you meditate in it, and it becomes a part of you, and it's rooted in you. Now, that temper's going to go. Now, you have self-control. See? And that begins to operate here, and then it works its way, it manifests out here. The things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. You see that? Or, I'm addicted to something. Well, I used to be addicted, but now I have self-control. I can control me. I don't have to let that substance control me. You see that? You see, and that's why I talk about, you think, again, salubrious activity. You know why? My dad died of an aneurysm. He had an aneurysm in his aorta. My grandpa died of a brain aneurysm. My uncles died of aneurysms. Well, now think about this. That's why I'm into arterial health. Because if you do things for your arterial health, you don't have to do that.
I read up on arterial health. You know why? Because I don't want, if I can do anything, I'm going to do what I can not to go that route. Come on now. Am I making sense? That's huge. That's huge. So that can be a pattern. But you know what? If you just let it go, it can affect your life, right? But I'm gonna get the truth on the matter and do what I can, right? You know, what if I drop tomorrow? Hey, at least I'm doing my best today, right? It's not about longer. It's about living a more quality life and doing the best you can. Am I making sense? Okay, now look. But now you destroy those iniquities when you get the truth on the matter. See? It's only the truth that you receive. Now, the truth comes from God's word. And that's what we have to understand. God is showing me that in my life, I have to be more aware of what this is saying than what my family is saying, than what people in the church are saying, than what CNN is saying, than what the TV2 news is saying, the Channel 7, all that new and everything I'm seeing. I got to have more understanding of what this is saying to me than anything else in my life. That's what God is showing me. And that's what he's showing you. Because, folks, listen, if that's not the case in your life, you open your, if CNN and the news and what you do on the computer is all the news you understand, you are deceived. That's the way it is. You are deceived. The truth comes from God's word. Now, it says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. Say that. God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13:6, it says this. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Doesn't rejoice in iniquity. But love rejoices in the truth. In the truth. Let's say it like this. God does not rejoice in iniquity, but God rejoices in the truth. We can say it like that, right? Because God is love. So God does not rejoice in iniquity, but God rejoices in the truth. God gets happy when you are discovering who you are. You see that? When you are becoming what you were created to be, that pleases God and God rejoices. That's why he wants you to get the truth. And he's trying to get the truth to you about your life and about what he has called and created you for. And he does that through his word. And that's the soul redemption. That's the soul, the redeeming of your soul. That's an ongoing process, this area right here. And he does that with his word, the truth. And that's why it's so important that you and I have a hunger for the truth. You see that? Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, King Ahab was the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And they were getting ready to go into battle. And King Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, you know, we're gonna go into this battle, and we really need to hear from God. We need to hear a word from God because we need some help going into this battle. This is a big battle we're going into. And so Jehoshaphat says, yeah, well, I know we need a prophet. We can get Micah, and Micah is a true prophet. We'll hear a word from God through Micah. And King Ahab says, I don't want to get Micah. He never tells me anything good. You see, he didn't want to hear the truth. So King Ahab didn't really want to hear the truth. Now, if you read that, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, if you read that, the Bible says the Lord put a lying spirit in 400 prophets' mouths to give Ahab what he wanted. God will give you what you want. He put a lying spirit in 400 prophets' mouths. If you don't want the truth, God will give you what you want. You see, you got to be on purpose pursuing and seeking God after the truth. It's not something that's just going to fall on you. It's not something that's just going to... You got to be after this thing. And the Bible says that in 2 Chronicles 18, 32 or 34, right through there, it says, the last verse, King Ahab died in the battle. In other words, an arrow went through a crack in his armor and took him out. Because, listen, folks, he didn't want to hear the truth. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's why it's so important that we be pursuing the truth. Because there is a battle going on out here. You know, I heard on Caleb the other day that churches that are growing and flourishing and that are healthy are not the ones with all the big screens and every all the hoopla and all the different, you know, skits and everything. Nothing wrong with that stuff. But the churches that are drawing people today are the ones who are preaching the truth from authentic people and a place where there is authentic people, real people, going through real problems, dealing with it with the truth. You, because you are a believer, you're going to have problems. I see these people, well, they want to see somebody that doesn't have any problems. And they're looking for somebody that's not ever going through anything, but that's what they want to be like. Well, that's a joke. You understand? But when you have something that can really get you through a crisis situation, a difficult time, you got something. Are you with me? I'll tell you what. This truth will get you through. And what other people are committing suicide and walking away from us, this truth will get you through and sustain you no matter what you're going through. If you get the truth on the matter, if you become who you are, you'll be confident in what you believe and what you know. Am I making sense? Folks, listen to me. It is so vital that you and I don't just... See, some people, they just go to church and they listen, but they really don't get it. They really don't hear what God is saying. You got to hear the word. You got to get it in you, and meditate on it and get it down in there. The word of God is like a seed. You got to let it be planted in you. James 1:21 says it's the implanted word that's able to save your soul. And that word save, remember, sozo, to make whole from many scattered parts. He'll put your life back together in your soul if you take that word. Am I making sense? Jesus, you know what Jesus said to the religious folks? He said, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe in me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Folks, listen to me. God is saying when you don't want to hear the truth and you don't want to hear, you know what? He's letting you know. You're not of him. Huh? This is huge. That's why we got to, even if it makes us uncomfortable, you know what? It's going to build us up. You're going to say, I know that's right. You see that? You're going to want the truth. You're going to want the truth. It says in John chapter 3, it says that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, right? And this is the condemnation that has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. For God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. For if you say that you have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, you lie, and you do not practice the truth. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, past, present, and future. Are you with me today? Folks, when you want to hear the truth, this changes your life. This changes your life. If you're born again and there's no change, you need to cross that bridge another time. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you what, we are in another day. And I'm going to tell you what, this truth is the only thing that's going to sustain you and get you through. This is it. Jesus said this in John 17. He said, I pray that you don't, in 15 through 17, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. For they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them with your truth, for your word is truth. You see that? For your word is truth. Set them apart with God, the truth. That's how you're going to protect them. That's what's going to keep them, through the sanctification. Are you with me? That's redemption. I know I'm preaching today. But folks, listen. We got to understand this. We have to understand this. You know, it talks about in Joshua. Joshua was the one that entered the promised land. He took the torch from Moses. He and possessed what God had for him. We're the Joshua generation. Now, he said, this is what he said. He said that we are to not let this word depart from our mouth. But he says that we should observe to do all that is written therein. He said, meditate in it day and night. Joshua 1:8. Day and what? Day and night. How can you think about God's word all? You can. You can do that while you're working. You can think while you're, what, no matter what, you can do it. You just start practicing it. You can do it. Now, he says, think about it day and night. He says, then you will prosper, and then you will have good success. When? When you're meditating in it. When this becomes a priority in your life. You see this? Folks, what you're meditating on is really dictating to you your life. You know what? The other night, I was watching, you know, have you ever get to where you just get the TV channel and you just flip through the channels? You guys do that? Well, I was in a state. You know how you get in them states and you want amusement? See, I got a word for you, amusement. Here's what amusement, muse. You know what muse means? Muse means to not think upon. No, muse means to think upon. It means to ponder. It means to meditate. Muse, M-U-S-E. Muse means to meditate, think upon, to ponder. Amusement, means not to. So when we want amusement, we don't want to think about anything. You see that? Not to think about anything. That's when we want amusement, that's what we want. So I was flipping through channels. I was flipping through the channels, and here comes Bugs Bunny. I said, yeah. I like me some cartoons. You guys like cartoons? Shoot, I like those old cartoons. And I was being entertained. Oh, man, I was getting into Bugs. You know, I always like his little, you know, yeah, what's up, Doc? You know, I love that. And so then, here comes my favorite. Meep, meep. Roadrunner. Oh, I said, this is too good. I was getting into it. And, you know, I tell you, Wiley, I just love Wiley, too. He's an eternal optimist, isn't he? I mean, he just doesn't give up. But I tell you what, the Roadrunner, I just, when my kids were little, we would watch cartoons on Saturday morning. We'd go to this donut shop and buy all these donuts and then eat donuts and watch cartoons. Now, I'm not saying that's what you do with your kids, but I'm just saying that's what we did. I think it was before Christ, but anyways. But anyways, I remember we'd be doing, and my son, and Tarzan would be on, and my son would come out in his underwear. Oh, you know. And then the next one would be Superman. And then he would put a towel around his neck, and he'd act like Superman. And then he'd come out, and then it would be G.I. Joe. He'd come out with a G.I. Joe hat on and shirt. So every cartoon, he would come out acting like it. So you can tell him that when you see him. But the idea is, those things can have an effect on you, can't they? Now, what if I sat around and watched, I'm just being flat up on, I get entertained by the Roadrunner. I do. I like it. I don't think there's anything demonic about it or, you know, I like it. And so what if I sat around and watched the Roadrunner all the time? And I just pondered on that and meditated on that and just, that was what I thought about all the time. And then Bubble Breath comes. He comes with some sickness or some lie or some kind of temptation. And I go, me. What's that going to do? I'm going to get squashed. Are you with me? I'm going to get squashed because look here. If you don't have something in you, when the enemy comes, he is going to eat your lunch and pop the bag. Are you with me? He is out to take you out. And you better have something in you when he shows up. Am I making sense? Because I'm going to tell you what, folks. He's real, but you know what? You don't have to fall into that mess. You don't have to fall into that. If you got it in you, you're going to win. You see, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. People want to come and hear and listen, but they don't let it take root. They don't let the Word of God take root in them. You see, now listen. In Mark chapter 4, it says the Word of God is like a seed. And it says the sower sows the seed. And then it talks about the farmer. He scatters the seed everywhere. And he wakes up the next day, he looks at it, nothing out there. He keeps looking, he doesn't understand. But then all of a sudden, bloop, the blade pops through. And then the stalk, and then the head, and then the harvest. See, the harvest is out there in manifestation. It takes time. It has to have a root system. You see, here's what happens. People get saved, and they come to church, and they're new believers, and they hear the word, but it really doesn't take root. And they don't allow the patience and the time for it to take root. Because the root is below the surface, where you don't see it. And that's where those iniquities are. They're down under there. And that's where the word is taking root, and it's going to deal with those iniquities. And then it's going to slowly, after time, come out and begin to produce some fruit that's going to benefit others and also them. But here's the problem. They go to church, and it says they hear the word. They go and they hear the word. But now, because it has no root, there's no root in themselves, when trials and tribulations and persecutions come for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Immediately they stumble. Why? Because they had no root in themselves. You know what people can get caught up into? They can get caught up into going and getting a word from somebody else all the time and dependent on that. And the word's really not taking root in them. So they just keep going to church and listening. You see, when you come here or when you, wherever you go, you hear the word, you need to write it down, write one down that spoke to you, and go back home and begin to ponder that thing and meditate and get it in you. Get it in you. Because you know what? It has the power. The word of God is living. It's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the vision of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is alive. When you take that and you plant it in your spirit, now you've got something in you. But you just come and you listen And you go, oh, well, you know. And then they come back the next week, well, what's he got today? I'm going to tell you something. You see, you're not doing your part. It's not taking root in you. Oh, are you getting this? Huh? I'm explaining it right. Are you getting it? I'm spitting on you. Sorry, Kevin. Kevin said, that's all right. I need a shower. But do you see the importance of this? It's got to take root in you. I'm here to tell you. And you know what? A lot of times you don't see anything for a while. You don't see anything for a while. But you just stay at it. You stay with it. And you will start to see fruit. Because I'm going to tell you what, folks. We're all facing some difficult things. And this will get you through. This will get you through. And you know what? Not just because of a difficult time. This is what we're created for. You see that? He rejoices in the truth when we have the truth. Oh, boy, I tell you what, I could just keep preaching. But you know what? We are out of time. I got one more thing I want to share with you. It talks about in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted. All right? Now, here's what happens. The devil showed up. Jesus had been studying. Jesus knew. Jesus had some word in him. And the devil showed up. The first thing he tempted him with, you know what he said? If you are the Son of God. If. You know what he's doing? He's getting him to question who he was. You know what? That's what the enemy does to you and me. He's always trying to get us to question who we are. But if you know the truth on the matter, and you're confident in who you are and what you believe, he can come with his mess, and you can give him right back the truth, and he has to flee. He has to flee. That's what Jesus said. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now get a hold of this. That first temptation, you know what he said? The devil said to him? He said, if you be the Son of God, jump off here. God says he'll give his angels charge over you. You know what he's insinuating? That God will take care of you no matter what you go through. You see, he's only giving a little bit of a truth there. He's twisting it. See, he didn't say in what it began with, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Meaning God's ways. You see that? What the enemy was trying to do was, oh, he takes care of, he'll take care of you no matter what you do. That's like a lot of people say, well, he gives his angels charge over me. I go live how I want to live. Uh-uh. You have to be in his ways and have his truth on the matter. Then the protection's going to be there. And then no matter what comes your dwelling, you're going to be protected. Am I making sense? That's like I had some woman tell me, well, I don't know if I can swallow that. She said, you know, God helps those who help themselves. She goes, isn't that in there? I said, yeah, that's in the first book of Hesitations. If you could help yourself, you know, if we could help ourselves, right, we wouldn't need God, would we? You see how people come up with stuff? They're always coming up with something. That's why we need to know the truth on the matter. I'm excited. Are you excited? I mean, we ought to be rejoicing in the truth. We are going to take communion today. And those who are coming, those who are going to assist me, could you come forward?